I've heard it said that it would be a very different situation had three wise women, not wise men, been at the stable. Three wise women, three wise mothers. Perhaps they would have stopped along the way and asked for directions. They would have arrived on time to help deliver the baby, clean up the stable by putting down fresh straw. They would have brought probably more practical gifts. And at the end, they would have made a casserole. Well, moms are pretty incredible. Their work is like anything, unlike anything else in this world. It's a high calling, and it's a holy calling. As C.H. Spurgeon has said, never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. One of life's greatest blessings is to have a godly mother. Moms, one of the greatest gifts you can give is to be a godly mother. Today we're going to explore two characteristics of this godly mother. We'll take a break from the book of James and go over to a book entitled 2 Timothy to see this letter written to a young pastor named Timothy, in which we learn about the godly mother. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy this morning. Our two points will come from 2 Timothy. We'll begin in chapter 1, and eventually we'll make our way over to chapter 3. We'll see first that a godly mother displays sincere faith. The godly mother displays sincere faith. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Paul writes, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Evnike, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Paul begins this letter by commending the spiritual heritage given to Timothy. And Paul is praying, and as he's praying, he's reminded of this great faith of the young pastor. Paul calls it a sincere faith. Timothy has a settled trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a firm conviction. It's a total surrender. And it's evident in how he lives his life. Now, when Paul calls it sincere, he's calling it genuine. The term sincere in our Bible text is a compound word in the Greek. It's a negative prefix attached to a word pronounced hypocritos. We get our word hypocrite from this term. Originally, a hypocrite was an actor in a Greek play, so someone who came out on stage and wore a mask. But Paul's word indicates that Timothy's faith was just the opposite. With that prefix on the front, he's an anti-hypocrite or a non-hypocrite. More specifically, his faith is not hypocritical. There's no pretense or there's no deceit about it. As we said, it's genuine. We see here that Timothy learned this faith from his mother and from his grandmother. And that this sincere faith was passed down to Timothy is quite remarkable. It's very easy to put on a mask at church. We can stand and sing, we can give to the offering, we can participate in the Lord's Supper. But at home, the masks come off. And kids have an uncanny ability to sniff out any phoniness. That's Sherlock Holmes discovers the criminal. Children discover evidences of hypocrisy. This kind of ability can really jam up their view of Christianity. But this was not true for young Timothy. His sincere faith first dwelt in his grandmother Lois and his mother Evniki. Now, each of us has a spiritual history. It may be good, it may be bad. It could be that our parents or our grandparents are devout atheists. They deny even the existence of the Lord God. It could be that they are mere church attenders, being very different outside this building. And it could be that they are believers, they are Christians, they live a life for Jesus Christ at work and at home and at play. Perhaps it was a godly parent or grandparent who influenced you for Jesus Christ. It's often others who help us come to that saving faith, that point of belief. In my own life, I can remember a man named Darian Bennett. He was a former NFL player turned karate instructor. You can imagine what happens when you mix my train wreck of a life with Pastor Darian and Jesus Christ drawing me to him. Long story short, Darian had quite an influence upon me. We can think of God-fearing believers who have influenced our lives, who've impacted us in some way. And Timothy, if you had asked him, would point to his grandmother and his mother. Lois was Timothy's grandmother. In Greek, she was his mommy. This sounds more like the term mama that we use for our own maternal mothers. And then there was Evniki. This is Timothy's mother. I know my pronunciation sounds different than it looks in the Bible. In English, you might pronounce it Eunice. But her name is Evniki in her time, so we'll call her that this morning. And these were women who understood the Old Testament and also understood the promised Messiah when they heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, as an aside, in Acts 16:1, it's revealed that Timothy's father was a Greek. That's another way of saying that Timothy's father did not know the Lord. He was not a Christian. And this should be an encouragement to mothers who want to raise their children to know Christ. It is indeed God's will that dads lead. Some dads won't lead. Some dads will even outright reject the gospel. But if you're a mom in a mixed marriage, I want you to be encouraged this morning. God can use your faithfulness. No passive father, no hostile father can thwart the plans of God. God will use the faithfulness of a mother to raise up children who know and love the Lord. So Lois and Evniki were some Jewish women. When they heard this gospel message, they believed. And their display of sincere faith impacted Timothy. It impacted Timothy in a major way. Paul is certain of this faith, that he's positive that it's in Timothy's life. And you see this in verse 5. I am sure that it is in you as well. This tense implies that Paul was thoroughly convinced that Timothy possessed that faith. I am persuaded, some of our Bible translations will read. He's saying that faith that dwelt in your mother and grandmother, Timothy, I am sure it is in you. I see it. I hear of it. I can tell. So the godly mother is faithful to display her gift of faith, before her child. It was late in the career of Joe DiMaggio when the Yankees were up quite a ways in the race to the pennant. And someone asked him, Joe, why do you continue to play so hard? And he replied, because there might be somebody out there who's never seen me play before. So during scheduled games and in front of different fans, DiMaggio faithfully fulfilled his commitment to baseball. I believe our moms could say that is easy. Because for our moms, they're in the game every day, always in front of watching eyes. Moms, you're called to teach your children a sincere faith. Your goal before God is to model a sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you put a genuine faith on display? Can your children see a firm conviction in biblical Christianity? Do your children see a total surrender to Jesus as Lord of your life? Is there a clear conduct that shows your faith to be genuine? What would your children say if they asked? Or perhaps is there room for improvement? If there is, welcome to the club. As a dad, I'm aware of my failings in these areas. And us together ought to take that to Christ. Because Christ forgives us for our failures. And he strengthens us to live for him. So the godly mother displays a sincere faith. Secondly, this godly mother imparts the sacred writings. The godly mother imparts the sacred writings. This is another way of saying mothers teach the Bible. Mothers pass the scriptures on to their children. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll go over a page. 2 Timothy 3, verses 13 to 17. Focus will be on 14 and 15 in a moment, but we'll read it all to get the context. Paul continues, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." So the godly mother shares the scriptures with her child. Just consider the context of chapter 3. In the midst of a satanic and evil culture, Timothy will need God's word. The leap into our culture is not far. In the midst of an evil and satanic culture, our children need God's word. Timothy was taught from childhood. We must teach from childhood. Jewish parents normally began teaching the scriptures around age 5. Josephus, the ancient Jewish historian, recorded, "Above all, we pride ourselves on the education of our children and regard as the most essential task in the life the observance of our laws and of the pious practices based thereupon which we have inherited." So the Jewish people understood the critical nature of passing the scriptures along to their children. And I don't want to sell you a bill of goods on this. I just want to be honest what this means. This requires work. We can't upload godliness into our kids. We need to invest our lives into teaching them the Bible. Early in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel goes in and settles the promised land. What did God command? Deuteronomy 11, "You shall therefore impress these words of mine on your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall teach them to your sons, talking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you rise up." Our children are going to learn. If we don't teach them, someone else is going to. They are like sponges. They will absorb the pure milk of the Word of God from us, or they will observe the brown muck of the culture from degenerate people. Let me encourage you to labor to teach your children the Scriptures. Secondly, it's going to require an example. We can't just talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. As it's been said, Deuteronomy 11 commands us to first impress these words upon ourselves, upon our own hearts. We will then be able to teach and impart it to our children. Let us be an example in our love of the word. I keep saying us. I know it's a message to you moms, but I think I feel as though dads as well, myself included, need this message. Do we share King David's affections of Psalm 119? Do we treasure it? He speaks of the word of God. Do we delight in it? Is it better than thousands of pieces in gold and silver? Or is it nice if it doesn't interfere with our shows at night? Is it okay for the people downstairs in Sunday school to do the imparting? We should never expect the spirituality of our children to surpass that of ourselves. Your example, moms, is of paramount importance. God will use it. If you teach them, you can leave a legacy that God will reward. Lois and Evniki did just that. Timothy continued in the faith because he had a personal investment from his mom and grandmother from a very young age. Verse 14, keep going, Timothy. Remember from whom you have learned that teaching. That reference in the Greek to the whom is a plural pronoun. In other words, he heard it from more than one person. He heard it from both his mother and his grandmother. Together they were imparting the word of God. Together, grandmother and mother set an example for Timothy. From childhood, you have known the sacred writings, he says. Timothy was taught the Bible from the time he was a boy. He wasn't asked if he wanted to learn about the Lord. He was fed the word of God. It wasn't open for debate. Timothy, we're going to teach you. You need to hear. We love you. So Timothy's mother and grandmother loved him so much that they taught him the word of God. They imparted the scriptures into his life. And we see here that the Bible directs us to the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. The aim of the content of the Bible is to point us to Jesus Christ. And there are some here this morning who still reject God's salvation. God has given you everything you need to know to be saved from your sins, to save you from hell. He is patient with you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all, including you, to come to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites you to repent, to turn from your sin, and to turn to the Lord Jesus. This book teaches that you and I are sinners separated from God. It teaches that Christ died for that sin and rose again. And it teaches that if we trust in him, we will be made right with God. You see, Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him this. Godly mothers and grandmothers teach their grandchildren and their children this. What's the point? Evangelize your children. Share the gospel with your children. Do it now while you still have them. Do it today while they hear. Do it regularly so that a chance will not be lost. And listen very carefully, for I will tell you what happens if we don't. That little darling is going to grow up. He and she is going to be young adult, someone in their 30s, their 40s, their 60s, and their 70s. With each passing year, the heart grows harder and harder towards the Lord. Time does not soften it, it hardens the heart. As we wade out deeper and deeper into the world, the heart grows colder. People don't get warmer to Jesus Christ with age, they get harder towards the Lord. And what happens then is this little darling child today, 50 years from now, has turned ice cold toward the gospel. We must teach the sacred writings from childhood. God commands it. We can do it. You can do it. You tell me you're not a teacher, I say false. You can teach. And their eternities depend upon it. A godly mother imparts the sacred writings of Scripture into the life of the child. And mom, the greatest gift you can give your child is the Word of God. I want to look at 2 Timothy 3, those first five verses to highlight this. Paul writes, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. What's the solution for Timothy? In the light of the world in which he's going to live, in the light of the world in which we live, verse 14, continue in the things you have learned. Hope for our children is in the Word of God. Because what I just read is the reality of the world in which we live. It's a hopeless world, apart from Jesus Christ. 10 years from now, this world's not going to be a better place for our kids. It's not improving. What's their hope? The words of God. And let me give you a free pass today. You can use this for your coaches, for your retailers, for your employers. You have my permission to make Bible instruction your top priority with your kids. You have the full backing of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You have myriads of angels who stand by to serve the saints at your back. This means you can make the Bible more important than sports, than clubs, than jobs, than vacations, than Christmas gifts, than birthday parties. You want to treat your kids, you want them to grow up right, teach them the Scriptures. God has called you to teach His children His sacred Word. The godly mother imparts the Scriptures, and the godly mother displays a sincere faith. Unless you leave here today discouraged, know this. The God who called you to this work gives you the grace to carry it out. God's not absent. God isn't outside the house. God will strengthen and enable all who come to Him through His Son in this endeavor. He strengthens the humble. And there is no shame today in repenting and saying to God, you know what? My faith is insincere. I need to start teaching my children. Let me tell you, if you repent and you come to God with a humble heart, He will lift you up. He will help you. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. Psalm 103. Moms, your jobs are extremely difficult. Your jobs are extremely important. I leave you with an excerpt from a reading this morning. Somebody said that a child is carried in his mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said that being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up her nose. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody's never had grandchildren. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her. Somebody isn't a mother. Mothers, you are loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you with that today. He's given you precious lives to shepherd. And when he gave you that gift, he stands ready to help you do that as you lean upon him. May God bless your efforts. Let me pray for you.